Please follow along on your own copy as I read the excerpt entitled Flame and Forest, written by Charles Mann from the text Before Columbus. The Haudenosaunee of the Hudson River Valley were not the only Native Americans to burn their land. Across North America, from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific, and from Hudson Bay in the north to the Rio Grande in the south, Indians set woodlands and plains ablaze. Nearly every Indian group shaped its environment, at least in part, by fire. Flame and Forest. When Native Americans put the landscape to the torch, they were deliberately interrupting a natural process that ecologists call succession. It is the series of stages that an ecosystem goes through as open land is filled. One of the clearest examples of succession in modern times is happening right now in southern Washington state, where a volcano named Mount St. Helens erupted violently in 1980. Before the eruption, the mountain slopes were covered with dense, mature forest. The eruption buried more than 200 square miles in rock, ash, and mud, uprooting tens of thousands of trees. Within weeks, though, the devastated area was springing back to life. Lupines and other weeds and wildflowers were the first to take root in the burned-over soil. They prepared the ground for the return of the grasses. 15 years after the eruption, the ravaged slopes were dotted with trees and woody shrubs, such as lodgepole pine and willow bush. Forest giants such as hemlock, Douglas fir, and Sitka spruce will be the next to move in. Each set of plants succeeds or follows the one ahead of it, until the ecosystem reaches its final stage, the tall forest. If ecological succession never stopped, the continents would be covered with final stage vegetation. We would live in a world of great trees, dark and silent. Weeds, grasses, brush, and shrubs would be in common. Succession is interrupted all the time, however. Sometimes the interruption is a huge event, like the eruption of Mount St. Helens. Okay, turn the page to page 91, which clears a large area where succession can start over again from the beginning. Sometimes the interruption is much smaller. A windstorm may blow down two or three trees, creating a small clearing in the middle of a forest. Floodwaters may sweep a meadow clear of shrubs, letting the grasses flourish again. For the past 10,000 years, though, the most important force on North American ecosystems has been fire. Fire resists the ecological clock. After a fire, the plants in an ecosystem, and the animals that depend on the plants for food and shelter, go back a few stages in the order of succession. A forest fire is a boost to plants and animals that need open sky and sunlight, a setback to those that love the cool shade of the forest floor. Different groups of plants and animals rise and fall over time as fires reshape the landscape, and the cycle of succession repeats itself. Controlled burning. Fire has two main sources, lightning and people. In North America, lightning fire is most common in the western mountains. In other places, in the past, Indians controlled fire. They carried flints, hard stones that they struck together to create sparks and light their torches. When you think of Indians hunting, you probably picture them using bows and arrows. Torches, though, were just as important. Native Americans used flames to chase down all kinds of game. Deer in the northeast, alligators in the Everglades, buffalo on the Great Plains, edible grasshoppers in the deserts of Utah and Nevada, rabbits in California, and moose in Alaska. Thomas Jefferson described how the Indians used fire in the hunt. They made big rings of flame by setting fire to fallen leaves. Heat and flame gradually forced the animals to the center of the ring, where the Indians could slaughter them with arrows, darts, and spears. I'm now reading the inset on page 91, entitled The Site is Grand and Awful. In late 1792, Peter Fiddler rode out with several groups of Indians across the plains of southern Alberta, Canada. Fiddler was the first European to make a careful survey of that area. "Grass all burnt this day," he reported on November 12th. "Not a single pine to be seen in 3 days past." The next day he reported that the land was burned, and the next, a month later, Fiddler reported that the grass was burning with very great fury. "Every fall and spring," wrote Fiddler, "and even in the winter when there is no snow, these large plains, either in one place or another, are constantly on fire, And when the grass happens to be long and the wind high, the sight is grand and awful, and it drives along with amazing swiftness. Prairie fires could be dangerous, but Fiddler understood their purpose. The burning of the old grass, he knew, meant that the next spring and summer would bring a fresh new grass, excellent, fine, sweet feed for the horses and buffalo. In his ride across the Canadian plains, Fiddler witnessed the ancient Native American art of landscape by fire. Okay, the recording is going to stop now, and you will continue on the next recording entitled Page 92.